what we've talked about so fits with what the Lord's laid on my heart here. And it's about that perseverance. It's about not shrinking back, about decision, like making concrete decisions for moving forward. I don't want to backslide. I want to keep climbing. It's about what Morgan shared, you know, God says, go this way. And sometimes we forget. And it's like, yeah, you're either going to go forward or you're going to go back. But making concrete plans. And I know we're getting to the time of year where, you know, New Year's resolutions and such, and we make good plans. And, you know, I was even talking to someone recently about some of the things that they want to walk through. And some of the life decisions, and they asked me just, well, how do you do that? Like, what do you do? And we talked about making good plans. And now this is weird, right? Because I'm talking about this, and anyone who knows me, I'm not a planner. I'm not a detail person. I'm not a list person. You know, like making a good list of what needs to be done today and such. And yet there is a place for that. And I have found actually for myself, making some concrete plans, very almost, I'll use this word, but please don't take it this way, but it's almost a legalistic, religious kind of plan, meaning no wiggle room. And that's just my personality. I think I need that, like very... no interpretation allowed. This happens at this time. Boom. I shared with the guys on the golf trip that one of my goals, one of my prayers for myself personally for the golf trip, like I was praying for us as a group, and Lord, would you minister to us as a group? And I had some goals for us as a group, and I really believe that those goals were accomplished, and some of the fellowship and the drawing together and the unity and the word acceptance is coming to my heart, and where just we're all in this, like especially the seven of us who are from Emmanuel Grace, you know, like, yeah, we're family, we're together, you know, and you saw that growing during the week. But I also had some plans or some goals for myself. And one of them was to get out of some bad patterns that I have produced over the last while. And when I say that, I shared this with some of the guys too, like, and I think I've shared it here too, not that they were sinful patterns, not that I was struggling with sin, meaning stuff that is very clearly laid out in Scripture as wrong and we as Christians need to avoid it. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about patterns that were not beneficial to me, not helpful to me. We've mentioned before things like Hebrews chapter 12. We're supposed to run this race with perseverance and throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, right? So it's not just that we're supposed to get rid of sin. That's obvious. So things like, you know, if we're caught in a pattern of lying or just like where we just lie to people, that obviously has to go. There's no place for that in the Christian life. If we're watching pornography, like that has to go. That's sinful. Like that, you need to, I know some people have asked me to be accountability partners outside the church where they've logged on to Covenant Eyes and they've taken steps to free themselves from that vice, you know, and then they've asked someone like me or other people to kind of monitor their activity online and that, and that's great. But I'm not talking even about that. Like, yes, if you're struggling with that, that needs to be gotten rid of. Obviously, lying needs to be gotten rid of. Stealing needs to be gotten rid of. Gossip needs to be gotten rid of. Slander needs to be gotten rid of. All these things are sinful things that entangle us. But then there's other things that aren't sinful, but they hinder us. They hinder this race that we're running, and they bog us down. And for me, I just allowed some things to just be a part of my pattern, part of my daily habit that just bogged me down. And so one of my goals and prayers was over this trip, because the golf trip is totally outside your regular pattern. It's not my regular pattern to get up at 5:30 or 6. It's not my regular pattern to then have a cup of coffee, eat a little bit of breakfast, and then off to the golf course for a good, 10 hours and play 36 holes and then back to the hot tub, and or food first, then hot tub. You know, you eat the cooked food and then you boil it again, and then spend an hour or two just with the guys and then go to sleep and repeat the next day. So it was a great week of break of pattern. And one of my prayers was, Lord, when I get home, I want to use that and now start a new pattern, a new home pattern, okay? And I'll just share with, because I want you to understand some of the practicality of this. I'll share what I was struggling with. So I'm not a morning person. Everyone who knows me knows that. I don't wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I wake up like clogged-eyed and where am I kind of thing. And so I wake up slowly. And so I'll grab the old pattern was I grab my coffee and then I sit down. And Carlene's already up. She usually gets up before me. Actually, 99% of the time she gets up before me. And she's already sitting in the chair. And then so I get in the chair and I have my coffee, or I'm on the couch and get my coffee. And then just, I'm still in my PJs. And then I don't feel like reading anything serious at that moment or anything. So what I would do is I turn on the computer. And then you start checking Facebook. And you start, how did the Leafs do last night? How did the Raptors? When is this? And you check the sports. You check the news. I would go on MSN.ca, and check the news and read some this and that. And all of a sudden, it's an hour, hour and a half later, and that's kind of how I've started my day, right? And how you start your day off and then kind of makes the rest of the day. And then I would get out the Word and I'd start reading the Word, but then, I didn't check this article, though. And because I was already in the habit of turning on my computer, I put down the Bible and check out that. And okay, and then I pick up the Bible again and start reading again. And that would kind of go on then the rest of the day. I'm like, I don't like this. This is not helping me. It talks about in 1 Corinthians, right? So Hebrews 12 talks about run the race with perseverance, throw off sin, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. 1 Corinthians 9 talks about running the race as to win the prize. So you don't want to just run to complete the race. You want to run to win, And I looked at it and I'm like, this is not running the race as to win the prize. And not only does it affect me, it affects you. And so I'm not just responsible for me. I mean, we're all responsible for each other, but I'm actually a little bit even more responsible. Like I'll get a earful, if you will, a little bit more than maybe you will. And it's like, I want to run the race as to win the prize for us too. And I know how I run the race will affect how you run the race. And, Lord, I don't like this. You ever look at some of the patterns you've gotten in and say, I don't like this. This isn't good. And again, it's not necessarily sinful. Like, I'm not talking about the sinful stuff. And again, that's for another sermon. But if you're struggling with sinful things, again, like lying, like stealing, like pornography, like slander and gossip and hatred and all these kinds of things, yes, that needs to be dealt with. But that's not the stuff I'm talking about today. I'm talking about patterns where it's like, it's not bad, but it sure ain't helping. It's hindering me. And so for me, again, my personality type, I do not do well with thoughts like, we'll just cut down on the internet a little bit. That doesn't work for me. That might work for half a day, or maybe a day, or maybe a week. But that doesn't work. Because just that sliding, it just happens too easily. So for me, as I've been praying about this, as I was praying about this before the trip, as I was praying about it on the trip and just spending time with God and that, and when I came up with this thing of no turning on the computer at all until after noon. The whole morning, just, and not even to listen to sermons and teachings, because sometimes I would do that in the morning, which again, someone might say, well, what's wrong with that? Like, what's wrong with listening to Joel Richardson in the morning, you know, and hearing a good sermon, or Mike Winger? You know, what's wrong with listening to him in the morning, or Ravi Zacharias, or John Lennox, or reading an article from different Christian websites, or different articles that people have put out there? What's wrong with that? Nothing. What's wrong with listening to Randy or Darla teaching in the morning? Nothing. But for me, once that computer is opened, it's open. And I don't know, it's kind of like walking around a grocery store when you're hungry. It just, no, I'm just coming in here for one thing. Oh, and then there's that. And then there's that. Oh, look at those chocolates on sale, you know? And you just start, all of a sudden, it's an hour later, hour and a half later. And I've maybe listened to Ravi Zacharias, but I've also watched someone's golf swing in slow motion for 10 minutes, you know, and seeing what I can pick up, any tips I can pick up from them, yeah? And then I'm all of a sudden listening to some comedy routine that's funny and good, and laughter is wonderful, and yet I'm distracted. And so I've made a rule. And it's this place of, I'm not turning on the computer until afternoon. The morning is going to be spent, so I'll get my coffee now. It hasn't caused me to wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm still not that. I'll grab my coffee. And it's just been a few weeks now, and again, we've been out of routine this week because, you know, visiting with family and all that kind of thing. I'll grab my coffee and I'll sit there. And I'll just sit and drink my coffee slowly, looking out the window and talking to God quietly in my heart. And then when I'm ready to read, I'll grab the Bible, I'll start reading. And Carlene will eventually, she'll start her day. And see, she doesn't need these religious rules in her life. She doesn't need legalistic rules in her life because God has blessed her with so much discipline. Like we're all gifted naturally with different things. And one of the things that she's really gifted with is just this disciplined heart. Without even trying, it's just a gift, and it's wonderful. So, and she'll get on with her day, and she'll start doing things that need to be done, whether it's study or work or this or that. And when she starts that, after I've read a bit in the Word, I put on some worship music because I've been told I need to dig up, right? And so I start digging up, and I start worshiping and just listening and. Then I'll read a little bit more and I'll begin praying. And basically the goal and the heart of it all is the morning time set aside for God, you know? And yeah, I'll get a shower in there, and sometimes other things need to be done in the morning. I'll do that, but the computer stays closed, period. And I need that rule. I need a hard and fast rule to help me because I was in bad patterns. Because I want to run this race to win. I want to grab hold of everything that God has for me. And I don't want to miss out on anything. Now again, Carlene doesn't necessarily need that rule. And maybe you don't. And I don't know what the Lord is working out in you and what he's calling you to. And all the calling on your life and the giftings and that. But what I'm saying is this place of being reminded of what God has said and doing whatever it takes to walk that out. Whether that's in your life calling as a part of the body of Christ, or actually even before that, like I think about us as men. You know, and one of the themes on the golf trip, like I said, anytime you get in a golf cart with me, eventually by the fourth or fifth hole, you're going to be asked, how's your marriage doing? How are you doing? Are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church? And I'll be talking to you about that. And if it's like, well, you know, I'm struggling with here, what you need to do then is, okay, what needs to be done? What needs to be done in order to help you love your wife as Christ loved the church? And yeah, don't buy into this worldly idea of, no, if it's real, it'll just come naturally and be romantic and all of this kind of stuff. Yes, romance is awesome. I love romance. I'm the more romantic one in our relationship, and that doesn't surprise anyone here in that. But no, sometimes it's you know what? Discipline is just as romantic. That's hard for me to say, but it's true. Discipline, loyalty, walking out your calling, even when it hurts, it's just as beautiful, just as romantic. And so my thing is, okay, so if whether it's marriage or workplace, like how's your work doing? That's another question I sometimes ask. Like, how are things going at your workplace? Are you being a witness for the Lord there? How are things going between you and your boss? Especially if I know something isn't going right in that. So how are things going? Oh, not good. Or really good or whatever. But it becomes this place of, okay, what can be set in place then? Like today's message is really, what can be set in place that will help you become everything you're called to be in that area? So your walk with God, your walk with your spouse, your walk with your kids, your walk with your work, the people at your workplace, the clients, whether it's clients or fellow staff. What can help you walk it out better in your community, with your neighbors, in your family? What needs to be done? And sometimes it is this place of, right, like Lily was saying, praying beforehand. I know I'm going to this situation. I know people are of this thinking where I'm going, whether it's to a family reunion or maybe a work party or whatever. Praying beforehand and maybe making some plans beforehand. You know what? I need to do this and this and this beforehand. I need to make sure this and this and this is done. It can be as simple as, I need to get more sleep. It sounds so unspiritual. Kevin, this is a message. You need to be spiritual. You know what? We were told once, getting a good nap might be one of the most spiritual things you can do. Making sure you're well rested. How many of us make better decisions when we're well rested than when we're tired? Oh. So you know what? It might mean, last night I tried it, although I couldn't fall asleep last night. It was about 10 to 11. Everyone else had gone to sleep already. And there was the Fiesta Bowl, college football. And it's the playoffs right now, if anyone was wondering, because I could see Candace was really like, really? Is it playoffs already? Yes, it is. All right. And Clemson was playing Ohio State. And Clemson has one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, just so you know. And he's a strong, strong Christian, which is awesome. Wonderful young man from everything I've read. Anywho, good game, close game, 10 to 11. It's about midway through the third quarter. I would love to stay up and watch it. But I know that A, this week has been busy. B, it's been Carlene and my pattern for the last year or maybe more to get up at 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Rather than, years ago, I used to get up at 7:30, but then there's barely enough time for everything. Nope, 6 o'clock, so that, again, we can spend time with the Lord and just not be rushed and all that. So I know that I'm getting up extra early on a Sunday morning. It's probably better to go to sleep right now. Click. Shut off the TV and go to bed. Why? Because I want to run this race as to win. I don't want to just survive this morning, right? I don't want to just say, that was nice. Whew, got through another Sunday. I want to see God show up. And you know, part of not just, maybe it's not about God will show up if I get a good rest, but maybe if I don't get a rest, God will show up and I won't notice because I'm too tired. Sometimes it means I'm gonna plan to get good rest. I need to get to bed earlier. I need to start walking more. Do you know that? Like physical health is actually quite a spiritual thing. It really is. What we eat, Not legalist, again, not according to ceremonial law. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know, when you eat that certain food or whatever, it messes with you and it puts you down. And when we're carrying that extra weight or whatever, and I need to work on that. You know, it's a spiritual thing. It all mixes together. I want to run the race as to win the prize, not the race that the world is chasing after. The scriptures talk about, in 1 Corinthians 9, you know, people compete, and Paul's actually talking about the Olympics, right? The Olympics that started way back when. And he's talking about how they beat their body, it talks about. I know that John likes to say they buffet their body. No, it's not about a buffet, all right? They buffet their body, okay? And all in order to win a prize that won't last. 1 Corinthians 9 talks about that. And we see that in athletics today. People denying themselves, athletes denying themselves in order to win something, a ring or a trophy or a medal. That won't last. And we're called to buffet our body, to beat our body into submission, to not be a slave to our body, but that our bodies would be a slave to us. That we would be masters over our own bodies, be masters over our own thoughts, be masters, yes, over our own emotions. Don't believe the lie that you can't control your emotions. You can. And understand that I'm talking as one who has emotions that are wild and rebellious. I mean that in such a way where I sometimes feel things that I don't want to feel. And I look at the feeling, I say, that feeling is a lie. It's a lie. And you know what I have to do? I have to take mastery over those thoughts, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10. I have to take those thoughts captive and make them obedience to Christ. I have to call them for what they are. And when they lie to me, I have to say to my feelings, you're lying to me right now. I will not believe you. I will not act, and this is where some of the discipline comes in, I will not act according to these lying feelings right now. I fail at that so miserably sometimes, more than sometimes, many times. I act according to my lying feelings. I want to stop doing that. Well, how do you stop doing that? Some of these other things. Get a good sleep. I find that my feelings aren't nearly as strong. Those false feelings, those wrong emotions, those lying emotions aren't nearly as strong when I get a good sleep. I find that those false feelings shrink back when I communicate well. So Carlene says something, I take it the wrong way. I'm the more sensitive one, okay? I take it the wrong way. You know, it helps to say to her, did you mean this by, when you said that, did you mean this? She says, and she'll often look at me like I have three heads, okay? And she'll be like, no. As if to say, how did you get that out of what I just said? But my thinking is, how can you not see I would get that out of what have you said? Because we have differing viewpoints. But then the trick is, I have to believe her. Because the thought comes to my mind, she's lying right now. She really did mean that, but she's not telling me. No. No, she's being honest. And I have to choose to believe her. And when I choose to believe her, because I know she's for me, I know we're on the same page, I know we love each other, and we want what's best for each other, and we want to chase after God and all that, I choose to believe her, and I don't act according to that. I know that Henry has often said at Bible study, that little devil on this side, you know, the cartoon, right? Bugs Bunny, right? Or whatever. The little cartoon devil here and the little angel here. Just say no to the devil. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Just don't believe him. Don't believe the lying thoughts. And don't act according to those wrong thoughts. Act according to the truth. And as we do these things, we start realizing we're growing in strength. we're growing in endurance. Our speed is increasing. Our ability to run longer and further and higher is growing. And we walk out what we're called to do, and we are running the race as to win the prize. And we're running the race with perseverance. It's not that we just go 2 months, a really good stretch. Oh, I had a great stretch of Christianity the last 2 months. Oh, but now I'm worn out and I'm going to go through 8 months of sliding backwards now. We're supposed to run the race with perseverance because this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we're supposed to run as to win the prize. And that means steady growth. And making decisions in our lives that will help us. And again, we're all different. So I don't know what it will take for you. I know that sometimes talking with you, like one-on-one or with Carlene and I have met with couples and that kind of thing, or in a group session like with guys on the golf trip or whatever, or like family, you know, and we're around the table and we're just talking and that. Sometimes you say, okay, this would help and this would help and this would help. But you know yourselves. And again, we're not just talking about sin. Get rid of everything that hinders. Get rid of it all. I want to read from 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start with verse 19 of chapter 9. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Now you might ask, why did you read that part, Kevin? We're not talking about evangelism, but it all fits together. It's this place of, I want you to take from those verses, I will do whatever it takes to become everything that I meant to be. Now, Paul, main part of his calling was evangelism. And he's like, fine, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll follow the law, even though I know the ceremonial law of the Old Testament no longer applies to us. You know, just read Galatians. Not under the law. But if not eating pig, like if not eating pork helps reach the Jews, I won't have another pork. I won't have pulled pork. I'll just stay away from it. And if wearing the prayer shawl, even though I know it's not about wearing the prayer shawl, you know, because the Pharisees of that day, and Paul was a Pharisee, they would wear their prayer shawl at all times. And he knows that's not the thing of communion between me and God, but if that's what it takes to reach them, I'll do it. I will do anything to win the race with them. I'll do anything to minister to them. I will do anything. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I want us to see that, because he was all about, I want to win the race. I want to see them saved. I want to win this race. Verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it for a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Okay, I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. And that's where some translations, I buffet my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I do whatever it takes and I make my body my slave. But unfortunately, what often is, it's the reverse. We're a slave to our bodies. We're a slave to our desires. We're a slave to temptations, but not quite that hard, even. To our flesh, to what? Appetites. That's the word I was looking for. We're often a slave to our appetites, whether that's our physical appetites, as in, I want this, I want that, I need this food, or I need this, that, whatever, or even like desire for recreation and all that kind of stuff. We're a slave to our appetites, or sometimes we're a slave to our emotions. We're a slave to our own insecurities. And we find we're not in charge, we're being led, we're not leading. He says, no, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to buffet my body. I'm going to make everything. I'm not going to be a slave to anyone or anything except God. And I'm going to make these things a slave to me. The only thing controlling me will be the Holy Spirit. That's all. It's like, yes. So I don't want for me, and there's many things. I'm sure God's going to talk to me about many things. But praise God, he's gracious. And so he's talking to me about my morning routine. I don't want to be a slave to the computer. I don't. And let's face it, too, it's not just information. There's chemical things going on, too. We're becoming so, like, our scientists are discovering more and more, and there's an addictive thing that starts happening chemically in your brain when you're on screen time, whether it's television or computer or your smartphone or whatever. I don't want to be a slave to these things. I don't want to feed that. So I want to close it. And there's a few other things I got to make some other rules, like even some of the things that they're finding, again, with computer screen time. And it's one of my weaknesses because I can think about a lot of things at the same time. Like my brain can handle the overload, but it's actually not healthy. It's not healthy to watch the game and be on the computer at the same time. It's actually not healthy. And yet, how often do we do that, right? Yes, Carlene, I see you. We all have our stuff. But I want to run this race. I want to win for the Lord, for you, for my children, for my daughter-in-law. That's going to be entering the family. And even like we teased them a little, for the grandchildren, that will come. I just teased them a little bit this past week. Just totally tongue-in-cheek, you know, kind of thing. But seriously, for our heritage and for the glory of God. And so to do what it takes. So my question to you, are you in patterns, and I'm not going to ask for raised hands, or are you in patterns? Do you have patterns in your life that are unhealthy? Or even as it says, okay, let me read a little further in chapter 10, because actually chapter 9 and 10, this is where, don't get caught up in the chapters. The chapters, the number 9 and the number 10, they're not a part of Scripture. They were put there for our benefit so that we could find places. But actually, chapter 9 and chapter 10 totally go together. And yes, he's talking to the Corinthian church about some very specifics, but there's general principles in there. So chapter 10, verse 23, he starts quoting, Paul quotes the Corinthian church, and they had this saying, everything is permissible. But then he says, but not everything is beneficial. Everything's permissible, he says again, but not everything is constructive. And I have those words underlined in my notebook. So when we're talking about running the race as to win the prize and throwing off everything that hinders, one of our questions should be, is this beneficial and is this constructive? Is this pattern that I'm in, is it beneficial? And don't get me wrong, there is benefit to downtime. There is benefit to sitting in front of the TV and just enjoying the game or just enjoying a good movie or a good show. There's benefit to that. There's benefit to relaxing. Mind you, North America and the Western world has taken it to an idolatrous extreme. Recreation and entertainment has become an idol in our lives. That's just fact. Okay? Is it beneficial? Is it constructive? So the question, yeah, can you think of patterns that you have in your life that you want to see done away with? Can you think of patterns that you know you should be walking in, but that you're not walking in yet? Pray towards those things. Pray that God gives you wisdom. Pray that God gives you specific things that you can walk out, specific disciplines. Because again, don't believe the lie, but if it's God, it'll just come naturally. That's exactly opposite to what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that our natural state is towards sin. Like the one song we sing, falling is easy. Anyone can fall. You just let gravity do its work, and we fall. But then how does the next part go? Loving is so hard, or it's from Sales. Staying in love is hard. Why? Because you have to choose it. You have to choose things. Falling is easy. Climbing the mountain is difficult. Falling is easy. You climb up 100 feet, that's tough stuff. Depending on the trail, it can be really tough. Falling, you just let go of the mountain. That's simple. So don't believe the lie that if it's from God, it'll just come naturally. No, it won't. It'll start to become supernaturally natural as we walk out the discipline. But we choose. So, I want you to take this prayer to the Lord. As we end this year, we go into the next. And may these prayers be filled with hope. Because I don't want anyone to walk out discouraged. No, no. One of my things is, Lord, he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion. I am full of hope that I will become everything I'm meant to be. Why? Because of who lives in me. Because our God is a great God. He can do anything. What's impossible for man is possible with God. There is nothing impossible for God. So when I think of these callings on my life and what he is trying to lead me towards, I am full of hope. Not because I'm so great. No, if it was just on me, I would be hopeless. But because of God. So I challenge you, think of those patterns that are in your life right now that need to be done away with. Those unhealthy patterns. And again, I'm not talking about sin right now. Yes, if there's sin in your life, that's obvious. That needs to be gotten rid of. You need to go cold turkey. You just, whatever it is, that needs to, because sin is destructive. Sin is cancer, okay? Sin is poison. I'm not talking about poison. I'm talking about, again, like the analogy I've used before, you're running a race and you're wearing work boots. If you want to win the race, I don't think work boots is the best strategy, okay? It's not against the rules. There's no rules in the Olympics that says, you know, the marathon runner can't wear work boots, steel shaft or steel plate, thank you, in the bottom of the feet there. Nothing against the rules. Nothing against the rules about wearing a parka if you want to run the marathon, but it's probably not the wisest thing if you want to win. So think about those patterns that need to be changed. And pray about that, and pray about patterns that need to be started, and then ask God to give wisdom. And I would encourage, if you're anything like me, even a little bit, there might need to be a sense of almost religiosity to it. Not that you want to stay there, but when we're beginning something, sometimes we need rules. Just Galatians actually talks about that. When we're young, when someone's a child, even though he's an heir, they're under the law. Little kids need law. These little ones, they need law. You hope that they grow beyond that. It's so great. Like, we're at a stage in our life where we're seeing, I had to say a number of times because, you know, I love my mom, but, you know, the children, you know, can be over there. I'm like, Mom, we don't have any children anymore. Like, our family is just adults right now. Like, we don't have children. Anyways, it does, I don't know, Carlene and I haven't talked about this. We've talked about it in the past, though. It does our heart so good when I see my adult kids just, hey, where can I help? Can I wash the dishes? Can I do this? Or even, I'll give a little secret. I'll give a little secret into your son-in-law coming up here. So, I haven't told any, huh? This is recorded, actually. I kind of hope my mom doesn't listen to this sermon. Okay, so no one tell my mom. But I don't think she listens to my preaching, so that's okay. She gets enough when we're together. No, just kidding. Yeah. So we, as a family, we do the gift exchange game. And so we each get a gift and then put it into the middle, and then number one picks first, and then you can steal. It's just a little game thing. So my mom, she picked the gift, and she got this really nice, actually. It's a for plugs outlet, like you plug it in, and then there's multi plugs that you can plug into it, but an industrial one, like this Mastercraft for the construction site, you know, black and yellow kind of, you know. And then also for AA rechargeable batteries. Well, because Andrew had been at our house the week before and I saw him wrapping all the gifts, this was the gift that he bought, you know? And so this was his contribution to the game. And there my mom, grandma, got this. Totally useless to her. Totally 100% useless. Well, who do you think stole the gift? Andrew stole the gift from her. And Andrew can use it, you know, help out with construction and all that. But as I thought about it, I was like, he did that out of love for his grandma so that she wouldn't have to have that. That's my interpretation. I didn't talk to Andrew about it, but now I'm mentioning it to all of you. It did my heart so good. Because it's like, because when they were younger, sometimes I got a crappy gift, blah, 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 I didn't like this, and blah, 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 you know, and all this kind of, not that they're that bad. Actually, our kids never really did that. I shouldn't say that. Like, maybe a little bit of disappointment, but they handled their disappointment well. But here it was, I bet if you could get into the mind and heart of Andrew, which is a little bit difficult to do sometimes, but is just out of love. It becomes, God's ways become supernaturally natural to us. But it takes a time of walking through law and rules. So I mention that story because, yeah, that's the end goal, where the things of God, the ways of God just become natural. Hopefully it just becomes natural for me to, I don't even want to be on the computer. Like, where they could be the sports news and the MSN and the funny little comedian stuff and the golf swings and all that kind of stuff. Just doesn't even, yeah, whatever. That's not the way it is now. I have to, right now, this stage of growing is still in its childhood, and it needs law. Kevin, you're not allowed to open the computer until after lunch, until afternoon, okay? 12 o'clock, after 12. Okay. Yes, Dad. Because I need that right now in my life. in that section, I need that so that I can become everything more and closer to what God has called me to be, so that I can run this race better. Pray about those things. What patterns do you need? There's a few other things that God has talked to me about I won't mention, but what patterns do you need to walk out? What patterns do you need to get rid of in order to run this race as to win the prize? What is beneficial? What is constructive? What is godly? What is good? And what hinders? And what tears away? And then I would encourage, walk those things out. Are there any questions or comments to this?
Mm-hmm. This is something that God's been talking to me about for like months. And the one verse that kind of sparked it all was in Luke, when Jesus is talking about, like, someone asks him, like, well, doesn't seem like many people are going to be saved. And he's like, the ones that will essentially will make every effort to enter the narrow gate.
Door. The narrow gate.
But the word for make every effort, and I was like, oh, I wish they would use a different word, is actually the root of to agonize. So, like, and in this context of competition, running a race, or fighting a battle, right? And so I read that, I'm like, make every effort. Like, that's just, it is such a weak word almost, mm-hmm. compared to, like, that agonizing. And if you think about it, like you mentioned, yeah, just that athletes today will give up relationships, lifestyle, all sorts of things just for this fleeting to hit a personal best or whatever, or just like a ring. And well, we have the greatest prize. And so it just kind of sparked this, okay, like what patterns, what things are, am I allowing to hinder that? So it's just really good.
Yeah. And again, even as you're sharing there, what patterns are we just falling into? And again, falling is easy. Just what are those? Well, you know, I guess I'll just do that and get rid of those things. Agonize over godly patterns. And yeah. Anyone else? Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing, just kind of this falling or whatever, it kind of got me thinking, because a lot of things that we do are normal, but normal for who? The world. And so kind of like this, like, we're called to be separate, and that's gonna be hard because we're so, these normal patterns are so ingrained in us, and yeah, so... Yeah. It'll be agonizing to pull out of these patterns that are just from birth we're just brought up in, but it's like, what is actually normal?
Yeah.
So
it's good. The worldly patterns are against you. They're against us. So
And sometimes the churchly patterns are against us.
Yes.
So that can also almost be harder at times because we all probably interact with Christians.
Well, and we should.
Yeah, and who walk in worldly ways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Almost the way that children and participating in sports, that they get the, no matter what you do, you get their participation reward.
Yeah.
And I know in my life now that I, as far as, pushing in, I need to push in more.
Yeah.
And I continually tell myself, I need to get into the word more, and I don't do it.
Yeah.
And So yeah, that those, you know, maybe that getting up 15 minutes earlier.
Yep.
To dedicate that time, maybe my lunch times at work to set aside, you know, 20 minutes of my lunch is going to be this.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, getting myself to do it. I don't want just a participation reward from from the Lord. I, you know, he deserves more of me than I'm giving right now.
Yeah.
That I could give more of myself. And, yeah. And anyway, I just, I like your talk, your sermon this morning, and it's reminding me of what I keep reminding myself that I need to do it.
Yeah, it's good. So with regards to reading the Bible, automatically, I know that many times I've talked to different people about reading the Word, and one of the things that automatically comes is, but is that even pleasing to God when we, like, what about, like, say you set a goal. Okay, I've said before, 3.5 pages of a basically standard-sized Bible, 3.5 pages will get you through the Bible in a year. 3.5 pages you can probably read in around 7 to 10 minutes if you're an average reader, you know. And so setting a goal of 3.5 pages or 3.5 chapters, is that even godly? Is that, or what about actually, because that's only 10 minutes, like, let's face it. Like, what about 10 pages? So you can get through the Bible 3 times a year, you know? And, oh, that sounds so great, but that's just half an hour. We spend half an hour on garbage, you know? Like, but is that godly to set something like that? You know, I remember I used to, like, when I was younger, again, early on in my Christian walk, I had a chart, actually, and I would check, okay, I read Isaiah, and I would jump around because, like, reading, you know, but I would check things off and make sure, and, oh, that's not, again, the word romantic comes to my mind. That's not, our relationship with God should be romantic, and I agree, it should. There should be this passion and this beautiful love relationship going on. But you know, sometimes at the beginning, especially when we're growing in certain patterns and certain things, it'll be a little bit ritualistic and legalistic, and that's good. That's okay. We want to grow beyond that. To, I don't keep track anymore. Like, I don't. I know that I read quite a bit, and I probably go through the Bible 3 or 4 times a year now, and just, you know, I just know I like reading all the prophets in a row, because you really get a good sense of prophecy and the word of the Lord in that area. And I like to read through history in a row so that you get a good flow of things. Right now I just started in Genesis again, and I'm going through Genesis and different stuff. But what I'm emphasizing here is, don't believe the lie that it's ungodly and somehow wrong to be disciplined in it and to set a goal. You know, it reminds me of the marriage seminar where we talked about how, like, if you're having trouble communicating as a couple, make a rule. Yes, rule. Oh, that sounds so unromantic. That's okay. Make a rule that you have to talk to each other for 20 minutes after supper, where after everything's cleaned up, just you and your spouse talking about your day for 20 minutes. You can set the egg timer if you want. Oh, that's awful. That's not the way relationships should be. No, it's not. It's not. Hopefully you grow beyond that, where communication just becomes a part of your life, where you love communicating with each other, where you want to know what the other person is thinking and what they're feeling and how their day was. But at the beginning, if you want to grow in communication, you put that timer down, you set it, and you know what? At the beginning, I've never had this problem because I love communication, but, like, at the beginning, I've heard that, like, some couples might be staring at the egg timer. Yeah, what else did I do today? You know, and at first it might be like that. Don't be discouraged. You're growing. You're setting good and godly patterns, and sometimes we need that kind of, again, I hate the word legalism, but that kind of discipline. And so with reading the Word, it might be checking things off and all of that. Josh has the microphone first, yeah, and then.
Yeah, I've been reading through the Heaven book, and the one thing that's especially this morning, that it was just this picture of, he was talking about like Isaiah or Elisha praying for a servant for the heavens to be open up, to be able to see what was going on in the field around him, and just all the horses and the chariots of fire. And then Stephen, as he's being martyred, like God opening the heavens above him and allowing him to see like the glory set before him, and just this place of, yeah, I think, especially for me, like I haven't set my eyes as much on heaven, maybe because I wasn't dwelling on it and I wasn't, I don't know, grasping that reality of that's where we're going. And so, yeah, Paul talking about to win the prize, like, and to realize that there are this reality of rewards as walking out faithfully, as after our judgment of salvation, like there's that place of, like, we will be handed out rewards for our works of faith, like through faith. And to that be something for us to strive for, to long after, to be able to, yeah, have more than just I made it, like Brian was saying, like,
yeah,
but to step into that. And I need to read those passages more to remind myself to look heavenly, like toward heaven, and to strive after those things, and yeah, take out these different routines and set new goals for my life too, of where I've gone back. And I know that God's been talking to me about some stuff for a long time, and it's just trying to work out of those routines and patterns is difficult, because it's such a mix of lives, and so it includes everybody in the family.
Absolutely. It's good. Donna here? Yeah.
Well, it starts to raise lots of questions, like what is the prize and what is the thing we're running for? How do we run? All those things. You know, we could do a study on that.
Absolutely.
And then I thought, too, as you said, the discipline, don't be afraid of the legalism there, because, yeah, we have to set time.
Yeah.
But the goal should be the relationship.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. The goal is to grow into spiritual adulthood. And like it says in Galatians, mm-hmm. it's the child that needs the law. And we want to grow into adulthood where we don't need the law. It's all about relationship. And where I just love, I don't need to be reminded to spend time with God. I just love spending time with God in prayer or in worship or in His Word, where it's just, I don't need to be reminded. No one needs to remind me. For some of you in this room, okay, husbands, I always pick on the husbands. It doesn't mean, wives, you can't take anything from this, okay? So don't elbow your husband afterwards and say, yeah, see, you know. And for those who are single, you can get stuff out of this too. But like some of you in this room, you need to be reminded. You need to hug your wife more. You need to communicate better with your wife. Some of you need to be reminded of that. You need to open up and share yourself. I don't need that reminder. It's just the way I'm built. And I've grown, just like Carlene has grown into, has easily, very easily grown into spiritual adulthood in the areas of discipline. I think she went from infancy to adulthood in that area of life right away. For me, communication and godly affection and all of that, I've been an adult all my life in that, basically, you know. And I need reminders in other things, though. And God has been talking to me about some of those things recently, which I'm not mentioning today. But the goal is relationship, where eventually it is this place of, I don't need to be reminded to show affection. I don't need to be reminded to give encouraging words. I don't need to be reminded to communicate. I don't need to be reminded. That's the goal. But at first, you might need law. You might need law, but to grow out of that, that's the goal. You're right. Anyone else?
Another thing that encourages me is hearing other people's stories. Yes. And how they've done it. Like Jesus is our ultimate example, and that's awesome. But also real life stories. And right now I'm reading God's Smuggler, Brother Andrew's story. And I am very encouraged by hearing someone who didn't come necessarily from a Christian family, and yet God got a hold of him, and he was willing to surrender everything. Yeah. And
but the struggles in it as well.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then the value of the word in his particular story, because he goes into countries where they can't have Bibles. And I was telling Quinn and Evie today, like, there were countries where they didn't have one Bible in the church, and, like, and yet they believed in God. And here, you know, we have so many Bibles, and and God wants to speak to us through his word. And so real life stories can be an encouragement to us.
And that's why I love our sharing time. Share your story with each other. Now, yes, sometimes it's not wise to share with some people. Like, absolutely, there's wisdom in that. But that's why I share my story. Like, I want to share my, not only my successes, but my struggles. Because I hope that, I hope that you say, I can relate to that. And, okay, that's how Kevin handles his struggles. Or that's how, okay, and we can learn from each other. That's why I'm so glad Brian has the vulnerability to share. God has been talking to me about reading the Bible more, and I'm not doing it. And maybe these are some answers. These are some ways I can. That's so good. It helps the body so much when we do that with each other. And that's where I would encourage, just like I did on the golf trip, don't wait to talk about God. Like, don't wait until you're in my golf cart or I'm in yours. You know, talk with whoever you're sitting beside. Share your story, how life is going, how your marriage is going, how work is going, how your prayer life is going, what God has been saying to you. You know, whoever's sitting beside you, not just when the pastor's sitting beside you. But may this just be our lives. Share your lives. It helps so much. It's just like, from what I understand, like I don't like working out with weights. I hate it. But from what I understand, working out with someone else is a lot easier than working out on your own. Encourage each other. I'm going to close it there. I think that's a good place to close it. So Lord, you know the patterns of our lives, the good ones and the not good ones. I pray that the good patterns would increase. I pray that patterns that need to be installed in our lives and initiated, that you would give us wisdom and vision for that, and then wisdom how to carry it out, the steps that need to be taken. I pray that the bad patterns would be revealed. Lord, reveal those patterns that are just unbeneficial and unconstructive. Lord God, I pray that you'd reveal those things that are hindering us. And then give us the strength to just change those patterns and see those patterns change in our lives. Whether it's holding our tongue or wisdom with our free time or what we watch, what we think, patterns of our emotion, all of that. Just, I pray, help us, Lord. We want to follow you more closely. We want to run this race for your glory and your honor. We want to run as to win the prize, knowing that you ultimately are our prize, and we want all of you, not just part of you. Love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Let's worship together.